the tabletop takeaway.
Game mechanics on display.
Three designers share the stage.
Pick a genre and we'll play
the tabletop takeaway.
Welcome to the Tabletop Takeaway. My name is Trevor Muller-Hagel.
I'm Ananda Gunaratne.
And I'm Charlie McCarron.
And today we're going to talk about SET, the family game of visual perception. I had honestly never played SET before. This game was created by Marcia J. Falco. And we're very excited to talk about this first game in our
pattern recognition
series. Thank you, Charlie. Definitely had a brain fart there. SET is a game, if you aren't familiar with it, where you have four different properties spread about every card. So they each have one of these properties. It can be shading, color, shape, and number of shapes on the card. They all have each four of those properties, right? And to make a set, each card has to be different or the same in each of those properties. And that is effectively the entire rule. You're going to have 12 cards in front of you, and you find sets in there, and it's real time.
Yeah, you yell out set when you see one.
Yep, and you grab it as fast as you can. As Ananda proved, he is very adept at this game.
I mean, you don't have to grab it fast. You just have to say it fast.
Okay. It's just saying it fast.
And be correct, too.
And be correct is also helpful.
That's where part of the fun comes from, is like, when you're first learning, just like understanding what a set is, and you shout it out and like, nope, that's not a set. But yeah.
I have learned that this is a weak point for me in game playing. I am not very good at this style of game, which is very fascinating. We did play another game as well that I was much better at, and I don't know why there's a big difference between the two of them.
Yeah.
But it's all fun.
Well, I will say, in your defense, this is a game that you get better and better at.
Yeah.
So Ananda and I have clearly played a lot, and it's hard for a new person to join in. And I'm not sure what, like, should there be a handicap of some sort?
I think part of it might be real time. Like, one thing I've noticed, like with Galaxy Trucker, for example, mm-hmm. is that you get the patterns down in your brain. And it just becomes much, much easier.
Right.
So I think real times in particular are prone to, especially when they involve recognizing patterns, which Galaxy Trucker also sort of does, mm-hmm. because it does also have the real time aspect and the pattern, you know, you are recognizing the patterns in the puzzles. So maybe that's just a feature of real time games, that they tend to reward repeated play a lot.
Yeah.
So maybe before maybe before
we dive too deep into SET, Ananda, you brought up this topic of pattern recognition games.
Yeah.
And the three we played have real-time elements. Would you say that, like, this pattern recognition always has some real-time?
I can't think of any examples that don't. I think the thing about pattern recognition is the challenge is recognizing the patterns faster than your opponents.
Right.
That's, if you don't have that, then it's really just solving puzzles, which can be fun, but is not quite as competitive.
Right. And Board Game Geek, you know, has pattern recognition as a broader category than I think we were talking about.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, it included Carcassonne, and we would not include that as a pattern recognition game.
Yeah.
There's like pattern recognition in almost every type of strategic game.
Right, when you get down to it.
Sort.
Yeah.
But
Splendor,
kinda
okay.
Yeah,
the real time aspect is definitely core to it, I think.
Yeah, so like Board Game Geek has another category, speed matching, which is also sort of like encompasses these. But yeah, I think it's a pretty unique category of games where that is my takeaway pretty much from all of these games. But it's like this idea that the game itself, especially in SET, because it's really boiled down. The game itself is like, just look and figure out something.
Look at these
cards.
You're
not really manipulating much. You're just...
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
Yeah, you're looking at cards like everyone else.
Yeah.
You're all looking at the same cards. No one has different cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just one puzzle in front of all of you. And you're trying to do it faster than everyone else. Yeah, it's interesting.
Would you say something like, what would comparing this to Sudoku or some other like puzzle that you could, right, in theory, mentally figure out maybe, but...
Yeah, I mean, Sudoku is, of course, single player. I suppose you could have a game where you competitively solve Sudoku puzzles. Ooh. I don't know if it would be that interesting. I think there's a balance. If you have a puzzle that's geared towards a single player experience where you can take as much time as you want, I don't think that's quite as rewarding. Well, I don't think that works very well if you translate it into a pattern recognition game. I think with pattern recognition games, you want something where, you know, there's some challenge in recognizing, in this case, you know, recognizing the set, but it's not super difficult. Like, once you know that something's a set, it's easy to, you know, to, right, check that.
Verify that, yeah.
And it's not too hard to see that something's a set. It's more about that moment of realization where you sort of see the symmetries, mm-hmm, on the cards in front of you and you're like, oh, that's, yeah.
We played an interesting prototype from my friend Theo that was sort of a pattern recognition game, essentially. But in his prototype, he made it extra hard visually to see what was going on the cards, which I thought was kind of interesting.
The one with the really zoomed in,
yeah,
lines.
Like, yeah, so it's a work in progress, but I thought it was an interesting experience to, like, have a game that's basically very visually hard to tell. You have to have a keen eye.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so being able to have that almost like the passive focus, I don't know if you guys are familiar with like the looking at the whole picture versus.
Is that like the magic eye diagram thing?
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. This for me is just being able to like take in multiple images at the same time and then being able to match them up without, right, looking at each individual card.
Sure.
And that's like a muscle that some people work for different reasons, like speed reading and stuff like that. And it's just really interesting, like how these games can really lend themselves to that kind of training.
Yeah.
Quote, unquote. Well, speaking of training, like maybe this we could mention, we played Spot It too.
Oh yeah.
As a contender for one of these,
it will not get its own episode this time.
But that is a very interesting one. You know, it's kind of aimed at kids, but anyone can play, and it's actually pretty fun.
Yeah.
Where there's just a series of circular cards that have an image or word on them, and you have to be able to spot which thing is common between your card and the card in the middle. And... It's really that visual perception, right, like who can see it the fastest.
It's interesting because the cards mathematically guarantee that between any two cards, only one object will be shared.
Exactly one object. Which is intense.
And I think there are different scenarios you can play with Spot It. In the one that we played, we each had a different card, which I think actually solves one minor problem with set. We were talking about earlier about, you know, how you can get very good at these games, and that can be a problem because set doesn't really have a way. It doesn't really have a catch-up mechanic at all.
Yeah, how could it? You know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It doesn't have a way to balance players of different skill levels.
Although now that you mention it, if we combine the Spot It rule of you have your own personal collection, the player who's in the lead only gets one card in front of them, or
we'll call it Set It.
Well, that's what I was going to mention. So because each player has their own card in Spot It, if you fail to match the card and, you know, other people are matching the cards, you're getting more and more familiar with your own card, which makes it easier for you to spot a match with the center card.
Mm-hmm. Right, because when in the version that we played, when you score the card, it goes on top of your stack.
Right.
That is now your card.
Right.
So it replaces your old card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you need to get used to a new card.
Right.
I also liked how, you know, you just take the card off the stack and now immediately it's set up for the next round.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that is one thing about set. There's really no catch-up mechanic at all.
Other than the minor one of whoever takes the set has to be the one to deal them out, which slows you down a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you're Ananda. Then he'll call the set while he's still laying the last card down.
the other interesting thing about these is there's really no progression. Like, One thing that we think about a lot designing games is the idea of progression, right? That the game feels different at different points, and there's sort of a narrative arc from start to finish.
End game, beginning,
Right, but each round of set is basically the same as the previous round.
Right.
But the player changes. It's like why...
The player's the meta.
Yeah, it's like why people play chess over and over and over again.
Right.
Like, well, granted, chess is going to have more of an arc, but it's... Yeah, you're improving as a player, so you see the game differently.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm thinking, like, within a specific game.
Yeah, within a game, you're right. You're totally right. It doesn't...
I guess you can get warmed up a bit. I mean, later on in the game, Charlie,
My brain warmed up a little
more. Your brain warmed up and you were getting more sets.
And I got the same number at the beginning and at the end of the game, which was one set at the beginning, one set at the end. That was all I needed.
Well, yeah.
It was perfect.
Another thing I like about set is... Or not another thing. We were just talking about progression. So, like, it doesn't seem to be an issue for set. And like you were saying, part of the joy is just getting better at it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, yeah, other games that aren't based in real time don't have... obviously, you can still get better at them, but it's not quite at the same level, right? You can see progress in games like set because you just get so fast at recognizing them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that alone is already plenty satisfying even without any sort of narrative arc.
Yeah. It's sort of like a sport, like basketball. There's not really, like, you're playing over and over and you go back and forth.
Right. You shoot, like, the ball at the hoop, and if you score, you scored. If you didn't, you didn't. Go back again the other way.
It's like a dramatic oversimplification of basketball, but it doesn't change from... Whereas, like, baseball does have a progression of, like, innings, and there's more of an arc.
Well, and there could be people on base versus not on base.
Yeah.
And it can get you more runs. Yeah.
Okay. So I guess if a game is... heavily dependent on skills. And when I say skill, I don't mean, like, you know, you've built up heuristics for the best strategies of the game. I mean, like, there is a skill that is involved in the game that you can train. Then maybe you don't need as much progression.
Maybe.
Yeah, very possible.
I like this random tangent we've gone on.
Yeah, this was unintentional.
I mean, I think I'm going to take that as my takeaway.
All right, do it.
When a game is heavily based in a particular skill, you don't need as progression as much.
Cool. Trevor, do you have a takeaway from set?
I was going to, actually. So for a game like this that is so simple and having such a reliance on that real-time aspect... having a shared puzzle that everyone is looking at together and staring at and racing, I think is the key, right? You have to have one shared puzzle so that you can compete over that. We have other games where we have our own puzzles. We're working on our own puzzles, but that's a very different experience. Even though it's simultaneous play, it doesn't feel like that rapid.
Well, how do you feel about Spotted? Because technically, right, we each had our own puzzle there because we were all looking for different things.
Well, but we're all comparing at the same central puzzle.
That's true.
Right. Yeah. So we're comparing what we have to the center.
Right. Even if we're looking for different things, it's still based on... Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, right, right. And even when we get into it, Ricochet Robots has a similar, like, situation. Yeah. And we'll get over that soon.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think my takeaway is just having that central puzzle that everyone is focused on. If you're going for that real time, like, neck and neck kind of feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's a good point, because I've been thinking about, like, oh, I want to get better at designing puzzle type games. And I think of them as, like, you're doing the puzzle in your own zone, because that's usually how puzzle games are.
Right, right.
But I do like that of shared puzzle. I think my takeaway, having thought about it some more, I just, like, was really inspired by the idea of set when I realized that there's, you know, a set for every two cards you draw, there will always be one card that is the completion of that set in the entire deck.
Right.
Like, that's just a really cool concept.
That's awesome.
That you can imagine in your head. So just the how you get better at this game is really cool too, because you start to learn techniques mm-hmm. of like, okay, well, there's very few threes out there. That means probably threes aren't going to be part of the set this time.
Right. Yeah, even though you're not... Well, okay, I shouldn't say you're not making decisions, because you are making decisions. Your decision is, what do I focus on?
What do you look for?
Yeah, what do you pay attention to? The game is all about directing your attention, mm-hmm. as opposed to like, okay, I'm going to choose to move this guy here, I'm going to choose to move this guy here. It's all about what you focus on, which is mm-hmm. Pretty core to games in general.
And it is kind of a... This is not going to make sense at first. It's like an action economy system. But your action economy is how much you can actually take in and analyze. Mm. And so you want to prioritize what actions you do first. If you stick to lower, like, well, this is never going to work, but I'm going to try it anyway, then you're not going to find it, which is what I was doing a lot. I found is that I was just like looking for a set, but I didn't have a goal. I didn't have like it lined out in my head what I was looking for.
Yeah.
And so I think like as you get better at it, you just start to like, okay, I see that. I see that. Okay. I know not to look for, or I know to look for something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very how nice. do you have a like technique your brain uses, Ananda, when you're like finding sets?
I don't know if I'd say I have a technique. I generally pay more attention. Well, so the three cards that most recently came out are, of course, more likely to be in a set because they're mm-hmm. the difference, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Especially when you can't find a set and then you put out three new cards.
Mm.
So those are definitely ones to pay attention to. And then also looking for what's not in play, because you can rule those out. Like if there's no diamonds in play, then obviously.
Then you can't combine
squiggles and
squiggles.
I call it squiggles and ovals.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. So you can rule out classes of things to pay attention to that way.
It's fascinating. And I was just thinking too, that you can. Like, I feel more clever when I find a set that's all different things, even though, like, it's maybe not that much harder to do in the end when you get better at the game.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, it's funny how there's, like, different levels of...
Like, yeah, there were some sets you guys pulled out, like, oh, my God, I would not have seen that.
Yeah. But that's why it's cool, because you can play with kids, and they could be, like, maybe they can only figure out, oh, there's, like, purples go together.
Right.
Things like that.
They're looking for literal, like, matches.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I pay more attention to the differences than similarities, because I often miss ones that are just, like, super similar.
Yeah. Yeah, it tells you about how people's brains work, too, this game.
And I will say, I'm going to do a little backup takeaway as well. With games like this being very either symbolic or language independent, and not having words that you have to read anywhere, just having shapes, I think is key as well. Especially when you're going fast, you don't want to have to read
anything. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and that's a pretty, like, clear thing. It's like all of them, none of them had a single word of text in any of the things you used.
Yeah.
Which is like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. That's really smart.
Yeah. No, I agree. You should never have words in
a real time or like a, it's tough.
Cool. Well, I didn't think our set episode would get inspired this much conversation, but it's great. Awesome. Well, join us next time for Pattern Recognition Part 2 with Ricochet Robots.
Beep, beep.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Tabletop Takeaway. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. So please tell your friends and visit our website at thetabletoptakeaway.com, where you can suggest games and mechanics for us to cover next on the show.